Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Paddler's Playbook, a kayak fishing experience brought to you by Mariner Sales, providing the largest selection of kayaks and kayak accessories since 1975. Real sportswear, get out on the water and wear what the guides wear. Galveston Redfish Series, the largest, most affordable redfish series on the Gulf Coast. Sign up today. Pure Fishing, home to the world's most trusted fishing brands. Now it's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy the paddle with your host, Drew Turner.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Podcast Land. I'm your host, Drew Turner, and this is another edition of the Paddler's Playbook coming to you live. And really, we're coming to you live today. I haven't done a live in a while. Decided to do a live today from the Mariner Sales Studio. I figured there may be some people who want to ask questions during this one. So those listening on Facebook, on YouTube, make sure to pop in with all your questions during this episode. Again, guys, I wish I had a ton to report about my time on the water, but the only time on the water that I have been spending is drinking water out of my refrigerator because it is 1,000 degrees outside right now. I haven't been able to really get out and do much fishing. I've been dadding a lot. I've been doing a whole lot of dad stuff. The oldest one, Big West, started high school football this year, so taking him up there, you know, they practice all times of day. They may practice 7 o'clock in the morning one day and 7 o'clock in the evening the next day. But I'm really proud of him, guys. I have to have a proud dad moment here. He actually had a recruiting article written about him as a freshman in high school, so got his name into some of the databases. You know, if you guys have seen me, I'm not the tallest of stature. But he's 6'1", 236 as a freshman in high school. He plays center here, and it looks like he's definitely going to be the starting center for the A-team here at Conroe, who has one of the largest enrollments in the state of Texas. So he works his butt off, so pretty proud of him for that. And, man, I've just been going to football practices, playing baseball. I had to take 3 showers the other day. Went and did yard work, took a shower, came back inside. The youngest one, CJ, is like, hey, let's go throw the baseball. It's like, okay. So we went out there, and he worked on his pitching, went and took a shower, got out of the shower. About 15 minutes later, Big Wes is like, hey, Dad, let's go work on my snaps. So I went out and worked on his snaps, but then I had to come in and tell everybody, hey, if we're going to do this, you guys need to get together and decide on a time that I'm going to go outside and sweat my balls off because I'm not going to take 3 showers in a day. We got to get this all knocked out. But anyways, I plan on doing some fishing here pretty soon. I've got a ton of rod builds that just, it went really, really quickly. I went from, you know, March, April, May, hardly any, which that's usually my busy time, to, hey, here's 8 orders. Hey, here's 9 orders. Right now I got 12 orders sitting over there. So if you're looking to get a custom rod, you better get in on it really soon, or it's going to be all booked up because it's going to be pretty close to Christmas. Pretty dang soon. I'm going to stop taking orders for Christmas like the end of October just because of how well business is doing there. I'm getting a lot of return customers that are coming over to Turner Rod Co. But, guys, we got a good episode for you. My man Joey is going to join us. And Joey's been on the show before. You guys have heard him talking about Heroes on the Water. He represents the Matagorda chapter. But before we get to Joey, we talk a little Heroes on the Water. We're going to talk about a benefit and just what goes into being involved with Heroes on the Water. First, we got to hear from Jess.
Hey, bro staff. These summer months have been relentless, and with temps continuously soaring into the 100s, our kayak and fishing equipment is bound to break down and wear out. It's a good thing Mariner Sales has everything you need to get you back on the water under that scorching sun. Replacement parts for all the big names, Hobie, Old Town, Bonafide, and more. Tie downs breaking down, dry bags dry rotted, that's okay too. Mariner Sales can help you replace those as well. So while we admire your grind out there on the water, make sure your equipment can go just as hard as you with Mariner Sales. And while you're out there ensuring your equipment is protected and working at its best, Real Sportswear wants to make sure you're protected. Made for the crowd that lives under the sun, their fishing apparel offers moisture wicking to keep you cool and UPF 50 plus sun protection to make sure you're able on the most brutal summer days. So log on to realsportswear.com and beat that summer heat today. That is it for me, bro staff. I am Saltside Jess, and I will see you in the air conditioning.
Thank you so much, Jess. Yeah, I'm sitting in the air conditioning right now. It is, I think we hit 10 days in a row of 100 degree heat here in Texas. Joey, are you staying out of the heat? Or are you getting out on the water any, or are you not that mad at the redfish right now?
I'm not that mad at the redfish right now, and I'm not enjoying the AC and you know, unless I'm doing my Monday through Friday job. I'm actually a little crazy. I'm out there golfing in this stuff. So I just picked up golfing again a couple months ago, me and my boys. So I am shedding the pounds.
What tea time are you trying to get, my man?
It's typically around 4 to 5 p.m. I try to hit the course around 4. I'm in a player development program at our local golf course here. So it's just trying to get out there, hit the range a lot, and then hit the course every now and then.
You are shedding some pounds if you're out there from 4 to 5. That is the hottest part of the day.
Yeah, I start at 4, and then I try to squeeze in 18. Try to get out of there about 8:30. The sun's going down and I'm on 18 trying to see the ball. So, but it's fun. It's good, you know, good fun with my boys, having a good time out there trying to get good. I'm no good at golf, but I try.
In the intro, I talked about like they were practicing at different times for my son's football.
Yeah,
man, I feel sorry for those linemen out there. Cause he's 6'1", like 240, and he's one of the smaller ones on the offensive line for the starters out there. Like they got boys that are 6'4", 260, you know, 6'5", 280 out there, and they're practicing from 4 to 5:30 or 5 to 6:30 on some days. Those boys are like drained after they get done out in that heat with guys that big, and offensive linemen are always moving. Like they don't get to stand there for a second and stand on the sidelines. Like they are getting it every play.
Yeah.
I feel bad for those guys trying to stay cool. And you try to tell a 14-year-old that he needs to drink water all day is like talking to a brick wall. So
right. They're
all cramping and everything, but man, I feel bad for them. And I feel bad for people who are getting out there and the only time they have to fish is, you know, 2 o'clock mm-hmm. to 7 o'clock in the evening. It's still hot around here.
Yeah. It's steamy. It's definitely steamy. And I think it's supposed to cool down. We're having a cool front come in about 7 days. It's supposed to get down to about 99. So
exactly
99, 98. So nice little cool front's going to come through. We're looking forward to that.
It was 97 with a little bit of wind the other day, and all the parents that were sitting there watching football practice were like, oh man, this feels good. Like this is nice. It's 97 with a little bit of breeze. And I envy our listeners that aren't in Texas right now, because you guys may be getting some rain. You may be getting some cooling showers or something like that. We have a high pressure system that's been sitting over us for about a month,
mm-hmm. And
it's literally just capped over us. We haven't had rain in a month, and it's been 100 degrees every single day. And I'm afraid the way it's looking, like we're going to have a tropical storm or something come through to disturb that high pressure just mm-hmm. so we can get a little bit of rain. They said it's going to move to the west just a little bit, but not enough for us to get a bunch of rain out of it.
Yeah, anybody out there that, you know, has homes and they don't have a sprinkler system with their home, if you're not running water, you know, the rainbow water sprinkler, and giving your yard some attention, it's all turning yellow and white. So, but yeah, my water bill was quadruple what it typically is, because I'm a typical dad when it comes to the yard. I want it to look nice, green, plush, you know. So my water bill was literally four times what it regularly is.
Jeez. And then the electric bill is going up too, because my air conditioner does not turn off. I found the sweet spot. If I leave 72, it'll turn off 5, 6, 7 times during the day. Mm-hmm. If I try to run it on 70 or something, it just is constantly running all day long. And I have a pretty well insulated house with a lot of trees around it that offer some shade. But Jesus Christ, man. Well, I didn't think people tuned in to hear us talk about our electric bill and our water bill and everything. they tuned in to talk a little bit about some kayak fishing and
yeah, heroes absolutely.
On the water. Well, before we get into, you know, some of the questions that I want to ask you about Heroes on the Water, we got something big coming up in September, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Heroes on the Water, real quick to give just a touch on who we are. Very large organization. I think there's around 60 chapters in 30 states, that ish, somewhere around there. The Matagorda chapter opened up 2.5 years ago. It's a 501c3. Nonprofit organization. We take veterans, first responders, and their family members kayak fishing free of charge to them, so they can get on the water, relax, and rehabilitate, and have some good camaraderie with like-minded people. So we opened up our chapter, and of course, being a nonprofit, it's not like we have a huge bankroll, right? Everything comes in through donations. That's how we exist. And what do you need when you go kayak fishing? Well, you need the equipment.
Everything.
And you need the people, the volunteers, to coordinate the event. Well, the equipment is the hardest thing to initially get, because you have to build up a fleet, right? In order to do that, you have to raise funds. So this coming September 2nd, it's a Saturday, down in Matagorda at Matagorda Outfitters, they are going to host a benefit. And we're going to have some items that are going to be raffled off. And hopefully be able to raise enough funds to be able to continue. Well, we will continue our mission, but it'll make our mission and all of the resources just that much more better for the veterans, first responders, and their family members. And just one other note real quick. Well, it's on the top of my head. I love this organization. I'm the chapter coordinator, have been so since we started it. A lot of veteran organizations are amazing, but they target the veteran only, right? But the veteran knows they weren't in it by themselves. It was their family members that supported them throughout all of their deployments and time away. And so Heroes on the Water opened it up to veterans, first responders, and their family members. So, you know, if Sergeant Dave Johnson, retired, 20 years Army, wants to come kayak fishing with us, he can bring his son, he can bring his wife, he can bring his granddaughter, he can... You know, it's that much more of an enjoyable experience. So I think that's one of the other reasons that makes Heroes on the Water that much more special. But yeah, we're having a benefit on September 2nd, and we are really excited about it.
Yeah, and one thing, we did this last year. We did a live show out from there with the Paddler's Playbook, and we're going to be out there again at Matagorda Outfitters. And if you don't know, and if you didn't listen to the show last year, I love Matagorda Outfitters, but I hate taking Saltside Jess to Matagorda Outfitters because I end up spending money, because every time she goes, she sees a new shirt from Real Sportswear there, or she gets her a new pair of Hey Dudes. Like, they have a lot of clothing. They have a lot of apparel there. They have duck hunting stuff there during duck season. They have fishing equipment there. They have really cool, like, Matagorda specific hats, like you're wearing right now, the Gorda hat with the Texas flag. So if you want to come, you want to support the benefit, make sure to show up to Matagorda Outfitters September 2nd. Address is 811 Fisher Street, Building B in Matagorda, but you can't miss it in Matagorda. Before you get to the take a left on the bridge to go to the beach, it's right there. in the parking lot. You'll
right across
see
the street from Stanley's gas station. Yeah. It's catty corner across the street from Poco Playa. I believe that's the restaurant there, which I love to go there and have some Dr. Peppers and some fried shrimp. But it's right there. It's basically becoming an icon there in Matagorda. And, you know, just one step further on Matagorda Outfitters, the owner, Thomas Davis, I mean, he didn't have to step up and do anything for Heroes on the Water. But since we started our chapter, I mean, our very first event, he donated like 13 brand new rod and reels to us. So him and his wife, Callie, just amazing people. Their whole staff is super friendly. You go there, you're greeted with a smile. And yeah, they have a ton of fishing apparel. I think they started selling rifles and as well as ammunition, all those duck hunters, you can get that stuff there. And they just, every year, it's like they consistently build and build and build and get bigger and bigger and better. The key thing is and better, right? More quality products. And Thomas keeps it fresh. I think they have, I don't want to speak for him and his whole company, but I think they have a dedicated design team to make amazing hats and apparel and things like this is like the standard, right? They, it's different colors, but there's a zillion different types of hats there. And if you go to Gorda, you'll see everybody with some kind of Gorda hat on.
Yeah, they have some pretty unique designs that are just like Matagorda Outfitter designs that are really cool with their shirts and their hats and things like that. Do you know what time you guys are going to start the benefit out there? Do you have details on that yet? Because I'm thinking what we may be able to do, since we got a whole month here and people are listening, we could probably get some fishing in the morning and then have a little bro staff meet up in the morning and then all come hang out at the benefit that afternoon and have a few of those Dr. Peppers and hanging out there at Matagorda Outfitters all day. That could be a fun deal, and we could have people hop on the podcast a little later, talk about the fishing, talk about the benefit, you know, talk about Heroes on the Water, and you can get in on the raffle to win some stuff. Now, yeah, I absolutely never win jack on those raffles. I never win nothing, but I'm going to support, and I want you guys to support, but I don't win on scratch-off lottery tickets. I don't win on raffles. I don't ever win door prizes. I never win any of that stuff. So I don't play the lottery. I don't do any of that stuff because I never win. Never, ever.
Well, I would never say never, because last year there were a ton of winners. We had so much stuff in the raffle last year, to include a brand new canoe Flint kayak that was donated by none other than Mariner Sales.
Whoop whoop.
Yep.
Mariner Sales. Are you guys going to have some really good stuff like that this year?
We're starting to compile all of that right now. We're just under 4 weeks out now from the event. So donations of various items are starting to pour in. I will go ahead and announce the big ticket item. At least it's the big ticket item right now. It's a new canoe, Frontier 12.
Woo!
Yep, it's the one that I've been fishing in from Mariner Sales. They had let me fish in it for about 6 months.
There you go.
And it comes with not one 360 swivel seat, but two.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you can set it up as a tandem if you want to.
Those new canoes are nice, man. I'm in the Unlimited right now with the Torquedo, or not the Torquedo, with the NK180 on the back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, I love that thing. That thing is so awesome. I can't wait to get out there and do an event. And I am going to do the next event coming up. I will be out there at the Heroes on the Water event. Me and Salsa Jess really want to come out. It's just been the past ones this spring were the same dates as Galveston Redfish Series. But now, man, I'm done with tournaments for a little while.
Yeah.
I'm ready to come out. I'm ready to get on the water with you guys with the Heroes on the Water events. So you talked about earlier one of the struggles of getting a chapter together and getting a chapter started was the amount of equipment you have. And then you talked about just now that Mariner Sales was able to, you know, give you a kayak for this benefit raffle. But you've been working with Mariner Sales for a while with this chapter. If someone wants to come out, They want to be a part of the event. And this is not the benefit. I'm just talking about a normal Heroes on the Water event. What type of rig are they going to be able to get in? What do they need to bring? Can they just show up? And how many people are at these events now? Because I know you guys have grown a whole lot in the past 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's right. So as to what an individual needs to bring, let's start from the get-go. They just hear about us and they want to attend. How do they even sign up? Okay. They can do it multiple ways. We do a lot of communications through our Facebook page. That's Heroes on the Water, Matagorda chapter. You just Google that and look that up in Facebook, and there we are. And there we post recaps of events. We'll post information about upcoming events and links to be able to sign up for those events. And we use Eventbrite. I don't know if you've heard of Eventbrite, but we use Eventbrite to track the order numbers. But we have a total of 15 that we can take out. We have a kayak trailer that hosts 15 kayaks. And then we have an equipment trailer that hosts all of the PFDs, the paddles, the life jackets, rod and reels, first aid kits. We have a generator. We have lights. We have all that stuff in the equipment trailer. So, you know, when I say all of these things about the events, there are so many volunteers behind the scenes that make all this happen, and they are amazing. And the list is too long to run through as to who to thank for that. But we have an amazing core of volunteers that help us out. So you sign up for the event, and I typically will text that person or email them and say, hey, thanks for signing up. We so look forward to having you out on the event. And I'll kind of give them a little intro, and the intro goes something like this. All you have to do is show up with a fishing license and a smile, and we'll take care of the rest. So an individual actually shows up on Saturday morning, typically at 6:30. They have their fishing license. They come in, they're greeted. We have a little welcome table. And in the background, the volunteers are setting up all of the kayaks. Everything's ready. So when the veteran, first responder, or family members show up, they're just like, hey, it's good to be here. Nice to meet you. And then we take, let's say, John Doe. He's a participant, served in the Air Force 10 years. He shows up. Hey, John, nice to meet you. Here is your fishing guide. Like Gary, he's one of our fishing guides, or Jim Finley, and them two will get to talk, and then they'll go sit and look at the kayak, and they'll walk them through on, you know, here's your seat. It's adjustable. Foot pedals are adjustable. Like, you know, to be able to, we have some big boys and we have some, you know, shorter guys that come up, and I'm not going to talk about height on this show. I've been listening to your podcast. I'm staying away from that topic. By the way, I'm 5'9". Ding. So
I'm 5'8", but the only person who ever cares about how tall we are is Paul from Bass and Brews, because he thinks because he's 6'1", he's like Andre the Giant compared to everybody else. So I don't know if he just has some complex about that, but he likes to call everybody short. It's not like he's 6'6". Like, it's not like he's 6'5". He's like 6'1", 6'2". So, okay, woo, you can play a little basketball. Like, nobody cares. But anyways, go on. Sorry.
Yeah, no, it's good. It's all good. So they have a warm welcome when they get there. And then once everybody arrives, you know, we have our roster sheet. We check everybody off that's there. And then we do a little intro speech like, hey, this is us. This is what we're doing today. Here's the agenda. This is what the weather's looking like. Everybody's fitted with a PFD to match, you know, their body type. And then we emphasize to wear a PFD at all times on the water. At all of our events, it's a non-alcoholic event. What are some other things? We talk about safety. If you happen to fall out of your kayak, there's oyster shell on the bottom, you know, so make sure you're wearing footwear. We haven't had anybody fall out. Except for one of our volunteers who was in the Army. He had a major faux pas, and it's hilarious because he's a retired major in the Army. But I'll save that story for another day. But it's a good time. So we give a safety speech, we kind of give him a welcome, and then we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance. We always have American flag and the Gorda flag present there. And then we'll have a quick prayer, and then we gently launch into the water at 7 a.m. And everybody has a good time with their fishing guide. Some fish are caught. You know, our motto is paddle, fish, heal. I'm glad our motto is not paddle, catch, feel, because we would be kind of over-promising a little bit. So they're able to fish, and it's a good time. And, you know, we've even had some people say, look, you know, I love what you guys do. I'm not that much of a fisherman. Is it okay if I just chill on the kayak and just have a relaxing day on the water? They said, absolutely. Do you, whatever makes you happy. So we've had guys get out there and just have a wonderful time. We've even had guys tell their fishing guide, hey, this is so relaxing. Would you mind if I nodded off here for about 45 minutes and take a little nap? And they do it. And it's just so wonderful. So.
Well, now I want to hear the story about the turtle or whatever happened to the major. Like, let's tell that story. You can't leave us hanging with that. I want to hear how did he end up in the drink?
Okay. So he had never kayak fished before, and I took him out kayak fishing. It was at a non-Heroes on the Water event. Okay. He's actually our treasurer. Great guy, huge heart, served 30 years in the Army. He actually bought the kayak I had from me. So backstory, Mariner Sales gave me a Hobie Outback to fish and then sell. And whenever I sold that kayak, all proceeds, the check didn't go to Joey Grimlin. The check went to Heroes on the Water. So awesome. My buddy wrote the check, Heroes on the Water. He sends it in. He gets the kayak. That's another great thing. There's so many great things Mariner Sales does. So my buddy, who's a retired Army major, he went fishing, and he was out there quite a while and drinking a ton of water. And so I had told him that's a great kayak to be able to stand up and fish in. He's like, well, I'm going to stand up and use the restroom. No one was around. Yeah. So
yeah, you got to pee.
So he did that, and his balance isn't the greatest. And this was his first time kayak fishing. So he actually tumbled out of the kayak and got soaked wet. So it became a really funny story, and I kid with him about it. And at every event, we kind of bring that up, and he doesn't mind because he's a good sport. But that was funny. So,
he needs to aim for the drive hole. Like, you don't even have to get up in those Hobies. Just like lift your drive and just have some aim. You know, try to get, if you're drinking enough water, it should be able to, the stream should be able to reach the hole right there. You should be all right.
So back to the events, so the fishing guides and the participants, that's what we call the veterans, first responders, and family members that go out there. Hey, Nick's on.
What's up, Besnick?
Man, he's one of our fishing guides as well. Awesome guy. Actually, not to, act like there's a squirrel and I'm looking off and my attention's gone, but he turned me on to the current kayak that I have today, which I actually bought two of them from Mariner Sales, the Hobie Lynx. But back to Heroes on the Water event. So we fish, we launch at 7, and then we're off the water around noon, and we get everybody loaded in, all the gear loaded up, and then we head down to the pavilions there at the end of the road there in Matagorda, and they're greeted again, warm welcome, and then we'll enjoy a nice meal, whether it be cheeseburgers, hot dogs, or whatever. So all in all, it's a great event.
What kind of rigs are you putting them in right now? What all do you guys have in your fleet? Because I'm impressed by that. You guys got the trailer going. Like, you've grown a lot in the past 2 years. Up here, you know, our buddy Max is talking about how the Matagorda chapter has it going on. I think you guys are probably the most active chapter on the Gulf Coast right now. Like, you guys are really, really active from what I see. And I think your last event, you booked up solid, didn't you?
Yeah, our last two events booked up solid. So we had events scheduled for March, April, May, June, July. So that's up until right now, right? Unfortunately, our March event had to get canceled because the winds were 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, so we canceled that. For anybody.
No, absolutely not. So yeah, we've had events in April, May, June, and July, four consecutive months in a row now. The last two booked full. What does booked full mean? That means we have 15 kayaks on the trailer, and all 15 were reserved for individuals who had signed up. We are active. Got to give a shout out to our sister chapter down in Coastal Bend in Corpus Christi. Joseph Briones is the chapter coordinator there. He actually showed us the ropes on how to become a chapter. Can't say enough about that guy, because before we even started our chapter, we went down there in December 2019, spent the night at his house, me and two other volunteers, and walked through his whole chapter, like where they keep all of their storage, how they store things, how an event is planned, how an event goes on, and then what they do after an event. So we used that as a template for our Matagorda chapter. So very thankful for them to, you know, for showing us how to run a chapter successfully. And they are just as active, if not more, than we are. I actually was comparing our schedules, and I think, you know, we have, I think, eight or nine events scheduled for 2023, and so do they. And a lot of them fall on the exact same weekends. Mm-hmm. There's also the Galveston chapter, which is run by John Stapleton. And a brand new chapter is starting up in Surfside. And that's going to be, they're starting up, they've already started. Now they're gathering all the resources. And that's the Surfside chapter. And Justin Galvan is their chapter coordinator.
Oh, awesome. Besnick said he's looking forward to guiding the upcoming event on the 19th. Is that happening on the 19th?
Yep. Next event is August 19th. What's that? That's not this weekend. That's next weekend.
Not this weekend, but next weekend. Man, that looks good for my schedule. Let me talk to Saltside Jess, and I may be down there as a volunteer to help. Even if you're already completely booked up and got volunteers, man, I got the motor on the new canoe. I can run waters to everybody and just go see how everybody's doing. But that looks good for my schedule. I'll probably make this event. So that'll
awesome. Every event is awesome. Yeah, every event is awesome. Now, the July and August events, we kind of cut down on time on the water because we don't want people actually meshing and melting into their kayaks. So because it's so hot on the water, we typically go from 7 to 12. But for July event, we ran until 10, and everybody was hot when they got off the water, but they were glad. I mean, they had a good time. But yeah, they all agree, because I polled a few people, and they said, yeah, 10 o'clock was a good cutoff time. But typically in the cooler months, if there are cooler months in Texas, in the cooler months, we get off the water at noon. So yeah, let me tell you our dates coming up for the next events here. We have August 19th. We've got September 16th, October 21st, and November 18th. And then we're going to take a break in December. So
yeah, yeah, you never know with the weather in December and January how it's going to be. It could be a front could blow in there. Usually September, October, that was when the fronts really start coming, but the fishing turns great, especially in the Matagorda area, October-ish. Mm-hmm. So that October 21st one, man, that could be a really fun, enjoyable event if the weather is nice and the fish will definitely be cooperating.
Yeah, and you were talking about resources earlier, like what kind of resources do we have, what kind of kayaks do we have. So thanks to Mariner Sales, they've really helped us out with regard to the actual fleet itself, the kayaks. We have 15 kayaks. We started out 2.5 years ago with two donated kayaks. That was our chapter, two donated kayaks. And now we have 15. 10 of them are the Bonafide RS-117s, which are really just the general all-around great kayak to get out there and just chill on the
water. And they have a good seat in them. Like those RS-117, they have a good seat.
It's
good
comfortable
for all day fishing. Yeah.
Yeah, it's comfortable versus like nothing against the Wilderness Tarpons. But the Wilderness Tarpons are a little skinnier, right? And the Bonafides, I think, are 36 inches wide, if I'm not mistaken. And the new canoe, Frontier 12, that I mentioned, that's going to be raffled at our benefit on September 2nd, it is 41 inches wide, super wide kayak, lots of room. And again, that kayak that's going to be raffled off at our September 2nd event is sweet. It's the camo. I mean, it's just absolutely sweet. And you can do anything you want with it. You can leisurely go out there and just paddle and have a good time. Or you can throw a motor on it, you know, throw a little kayak trolling motor on it and get around and have a good time. So, yeah. Yeah, so we have several events this year. And luckily, we've had a string of four solid events, and we're looking forward to our August 19th event. And I'm looking forward to hopefully seeing you and Jess out there. Give a quick hua to Jess, because I know she was in the Army, right?
Oh, yeah. She did 13 years, I think, in the Army. She was there. I know you talked about what the typical day was like for the participants and when they show up and everything like that. But I want to know, what is it like for you as the chapter coordinator whenever you have these events? Like, let's just say we're going to hypothetically just talk about the event on the 19th. When do you start preparing, like getting kayaks ready, checking life jackets, checking equipment? Like, when does all that start for you?
Okay, great question. So our last event was July 15th. It was a Saturday. It was about 3 or 4 weeks ago. It started July 15th, right after our last event. As we wash all of the equipment and put it all away very neatly, and we know that as we put it away, we're going to be pulling it right back out in 1 month. So we want to take care of it, put it away, wash it down, make sure everything's clean. So the next time we go hook up the trailer, we roll out everything. Like, our logistics team is amazing. So it starts.
I'm going to stop you real quick. Chris Turner, are you listening right now? Take your time putting your stuff up, and then you will not forget anything whenever you load up the next time. I can't talk too much. I try to be as organized as I can. Sometimes you're just hot and tired, and all you want to do is spray your reels off and throw your junk in the garage and be done with it for the day. But I forgot my net the last tournament, the last GRS. That was the first time I've really, like, forgot something really important. So my brother had to kind of follow me around. We had to stay really, really close. You know, the rules are 100 yards from each other, but he had to stay like within 50 yards of me just so he could get over to me if I caught a fish so he could get the net. But that is a very crucial thing that I think it's just like, as you get older too, you just take more time with cleaning up and getting stuff more organized, so you don't have to be staying up till 11, 12 o'clock the night before you're supposed to go fishing and wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Spend that extra time when you don't want to do it after you get home, and it'll make going out so much easier if you stay organized with your stuff. But go ahead.
Yeah, and just to add on to that, it was the same thing for me personally when I first started out kayak fishing, which was about 6-7 years ago. It took me a while to learn that lesson, because the day before I was scrambling looking for all of my things that I was going to use just for me, right? So we basically took those applied principles that me and the other team members, volunteers that we have, we put all that together, and we've just developed a great system. So when does planning start for the next event, Heroes on the Water event? The day of our last event, really. And that's the equipment side, is washing it off, putting it away nice and neat. And then there's the administration side. So, yeah, Camille said, especially when you're dealing with 15 to 20, absolutely. You have to. I mean, you absolutely have to. And real quick, Camille Knoll is an amazing person. She's, you know, part of the senior leadership team for Heroes on the Water on a national scale, right? Because everything I'm talking really is Matagorda, Texas based, but Camille is national. So she's everywhere, all of the time, helping all of the chapter coordinators, because, you know, you see me, Joey Grimlin from Matagorda, but there's 60 of me out there at all these other chapters. So, and they have their own way of doing things. Some of them are freshwater. I would actually suspect the majority of them are freshwater. And then you have your coastals, right? Saltwater guys. And so we fall into that category. But
from what I understand about Camille, if she was getting everybody's fishing pole and tackle together, everybody would be throwing a gold spoon all the time. From everything that I hear about Camille on other podcasts and stuff, everybody would just throw gold spoons and they would go about their day catching a bunch of redfish.
So what I talked about, putting the equipment away and everything. So that's the physical thing on the equipment. But then you have the administrative side. And that's when we come back to our Facebook page, right? How we try to take a lot of photos and videos, and so we can do recaps. So for those veterans and first responders and family members who have not seen an event but have heard of Heroes on the Water, they can look at our videos and they can see all of the smiles. They can see, you know, some fish that were caught, but the overall goal is to paddle, fish, and heal, right? But through those videos and things that we post on Facebook, it just kind of shows you a tidbit of how much fun we have. So on the administrative side, for getting ready for an event, we post it on our Facebook. Okay, next event is this date. Go ahead and sign up by clicking this link. And then I'm an IT guy, IT security guy. So I live out of Excel spreadsheets. So I have a list
of... I'm sorry.
Oh, hey, I love it. That's absolutely love it. It keeps me organized. It keeps me sane. I have a list of every volunteer and of every participant going back since the inception of our chapter. And if they've attended an event, if they signed up for an event, but for some reason life happened and they couldn't attend an event, all that's annotated in there. So when someone says, I want to join, I mark them. They're coming August 19th and they want to bring their son. What age is their son? So we can prepare for that or whatever. So add that into the spreadsheet. And so we're fully prepared for each event, for each participant coming out and for the volunteers. Because I think we have around 50 volunteers, half of which are veterans themselves. And not every volunteer can make every event. And we understand that. So we keep all that in a spreadsheet, in a database there. And that's how we stay organized.
Now, you were talking about the guide earlier, and a lot of people may be a little intimidated by the word guide, like you're their fishing guide. If someone wants to get involved as a volunteer, what type of knowledge do they really need to have? Like what does a guy need to do? Are they providing like tackle? Or are they just like staying along like buddy system? Like we're going to fish over here, paddling like this. This is how you do your anchor trolley. Like what is the guide really doing?
Yeah. So qualifications to be a guide for Heroes on the Water is number one, are you a people person, right? We want somebody who's nice. Really, I mean, that's number one. Number two, do you kayak fish? So, and that's really it. We keep it really simple in Matagorda. Are you nice and do you kayak fish? And all of our guides are like that, just like Nick, amazing person.
Yeah, he's nice. I mean, I don't know about his fishing. Like, I don't know how well he can
take
fish.
A look at his Facebook and his Instagram.
But he's nice. He's a people person.
That guy catches fish left and right.
I'm just kidding. He catches all kinds of fish.
Yeah. So, you know, and we've had people say, I want to be a volunteer, but maybe they just weren't as nice as we needed them to be. So we said, why don't you do like land shore, you know, shore duty or something like that. Which is a rare occasion. Everybody who comes and approaches our program is super nice. But that's it. Like, you don't have to be a professional licensed fishing guide. You just have to be nice and be able to kayak fish. And then it's an added thing is, can you teach someone how to fish? And do they have to bring bait and lures? No. All of that is actually provided by Ken Chamont with Egret Baits and Voodoo. That's another great supporting entity that has consistently been with us since day one. They send us the Voodoo Mambos and the Voodoo Shrimp typically about every 3 or 4 months. If we're ever getting low, before I even have the chance to say, hey, are you guys in a position to replenish, Voodoo Mambo or Voodoo Shrimp? They're reaching out. When is your next event? It's been a while since we've heard from you, Joey. When's your next event? And I'm like, actually, our next event is like, let's say, for example, August 19th. How are you on inventory? Can we do anything to help you out? And sometimes I say, actually, we're good. Or sometimes, hey, we're running kind of low. And I'm not embellishing. Overnight me a bag full of lures. So we are completely set for every single event. And that's what we use on the Texas East Coast here. Southeast Coast is the Voodoo Mambo and the Voodoo Shrimp. We typically set up the participants on a popping cork with the Voodoo Shrimp and then put a little Procure shrimp scent on there for them just to try to nudge those fish towards our veterans, first responders, and family members. So, and quite a few big fish have actually been caught. Now, what do I do during an event? I go out there, you know, have fun, meet and greet. And once everybody's launched, then I'll go out in my Mariner cells, Hobie Links, and have a good time and go from, you know, fishing guide and participant. I'll just travel and say hi and whatnot. And then I'll wet a lure as well. In our last event, we all have radios on us, all the fishing guides and volunteers. I think I was blessed enough to be able to hook up with a nice 23-inch size redfish, speckled trout, actually. And it wasn't, you know, I'm Air Force. So it wasn't 3, 4, 5 minutes later, a guide comes on and says, "Hey, my participant came in and what'd you get, Joey?" And I was like, "It was a 23. He got a 25-inch speckled trout. I was like, "Ugh." I was like, "What branch?" He said, "Army." I was like, "Oh, now I gotta go get a 26. So, but it was great. It's good fun.
That's a nice thing to have with egret baits, you know, getting those baits in. And really a popping cork and a paddle tail like you guys are getting is all you really need to start off with. I mean, you just throw out there, have some people that have an idea of where to hit, you know, throwing in drains and everything. Now, you guys are usually launching from the paddle sports launch there in Matagorda, aren't you?
Yeah, it fits our chapter great, you know, with our current setup. And we're always respectful of the other anglers that are hitting the water that day. We try to keep all of our operations to the left side of the parking lot. So, you know, other non-heroes on the water people can come in, and anybody that pulls in the parking lot, I greet them and say, "Hey, how's it going? Are you with Heroes on the Water?" And if they say no, I say, "Oh, okay." I said, "We're running an event for our veterans and first responders. We're trying to keep it over here to the left side, and we'll try to stay out of your, you know, we're just courteous to the other anglers that are coming out there." But yeah, we're always there at the Paddle Sport kayak launch down there in Matagorda.
That's a nice little spot too. There's a lot of fish that frequent that area. It's a good trout and flounder spot.
What we really like about that launch spot is you launch and then you have about a 10-minute, 15-minute paddle before you get into the fishing. That's a great opportunity for the fishing guide to connect with his participant or participants and ask them about their, you know, just be inquisitive. "Hey, what branch did you serve in? What years? Where were you stationed? How was it? Do you mind telling me about your experiences?" And I've heard many stories from our fishing guides saying, "Man, this guy did this or this girl did this." And like, what are, you know, I can't believe the capacity that they served in. That particular launch is actually just perfect for our chapter because it provides a great opportunity to have a little conversation before you actually start the fishing.
So how earlier are you getting there with your fishing guides to get everything set up? Because I imagine, I mean, unloading 15 kayaks, getting the poles ready, getting the baits ready, getting everything set up, that takes a little while because the participant or the volunteers, they also have to get their kayak ready, right? Get their fishing stuff ready. What's a normal start time for all the volunteers?
Yeah, so we have all of that in a PowerPoint slide that we send out to everybody prior to the event. We typically will send that out on a Wednesday so everybody knows exactly what's going on before Saturday happens. So we arrive down in Matagorda. I arrive down there around 5:30. We hook up the trailers and we're at the launch at 6 and we're done setting up at 6:30. And that's when the participants are showing up. So at 6:30, participants are showing up, meet and greet, get familiar with your equipment, run through the safety speech and the Pledge of Allegiance and have a prayer. And then we gently enter the water at 7 a.m.
Get out there on the water, start paddling. And that's a good idea. I didn't think about it. It gives 10 minutes, you know, on that paddle from that launch for the person in the kayak to actually get acclimated to the kayak and figure out that they are not going to flip the kayak. They can find that primary and secondary balance there with the stability on the kayak. They can, you know, maybe cast a few times just to get used to casting, get to know their participants a little bit and the volunteers a little bit. And I'm sure that the volunteers also have a good time trying to get their participants on some fish, and I'm sure there's no kind of rivalry with with the participants or the volunteers whenever stuff like that is going on. I'm sure there's nothing like that.
There's just a little bit. There's just a little bit. Yeah, and another thing that we tell you know, our participants that come in is whenever you actually are starting to sit down in your kayak for the very first time, take your time. We know there's a line of 15 people wanting to get in, but I don't want anybody to rush. Everything is supposed to be chill. Like, everything is supposed to be nice and easy, trying to reduce any anxiety. Like, we understand this is your first time on a kayak, so we're here to make it the best possible experience for you.
So if you want to get involved, you said the Facebook page is the best place to get involved with the chapter. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And there's also, thanks for leading up to that. So there's heroesonthewater.org. You can go to that page. And I think at the top, it says find a chapter. So you can find a chapter near you. So whether you're in Tennessee, you know, or you're out in California or Florida or Texas or Idaho, wherever you are, you can find the closest chapter to you. We've actually had folks, you know, we're down in Southeast Texas on the coast here. We've had folks come in from Austin, from Lufkin, from, you know, 4 or 5 hours away. They come down and I always tell them, I was like, hey, selfishly, as the Matagorda chapter coordinator, I want you to come to our events. I said, but just to let you know, there's probably an event or a chapter 30 minutes from you, because there's an East Texas chapter. There's the Brooks Army Medical Center chapter in San Antonio. They are super active. So there's many, many chapters in Texas as well as the other states. But yeah, you can go to heroesonthewater.org and just click on find a chapter near me.
So you started this chapter, correct?
Yeah.
So you're the did you say? The
chapter coordinator.
Chapter coordinator. Okay. So yeah, you're the chapter coordinator of the mm-hmm. Matagorda chapter. What has it done for you as a chapter coordinator? Like, starting from nothing, building it up to now, like, you guys, you could probably have, what, 20, if you had 20 kayaks, would you sell out 20, you know, total for the events and stuff like that? That's got to be a really good feeling for you, knowing that you're able to get this many people on the water. Just, I mean, just kind of tell me about your journey and how this has helped you as a veteran as well.
Sure. So first and foremost, it's absolutely overwhelming to be able to give back to my brothers and sisters who have served, right? It was kind of actually funny how the whole thing started with regard to Matagorda. I had a YouTube channel, and the whole purpose of that kayak fishing YouTube channel was to go out there, have fun, record what I was doing, and just kind of show people what worked for me out in Matagorda, what lures I was throwing, exactly where I was fishing. I'm not of the old school mentality of, you know, keep everything hush hush and don't tell. I think it's an amazing, relaxing sport. So I wanted to share the knowledge and the success that I had catching fish. And in one of my videos, I actually I had a couple extra kayaks at the house, and I plastered my email address at the bottom. I said, hey, if you're a fellow veteran and you want to go kayak fishing, you know, come on, I'll make it happen, because I have extra rod and reels and whatnot. And I believe it was Scott Knoll, Camille's husband, who saw one of my YouTube videos and said, he reached out to me and said, have you ever heard of Heroes on the Water? And I was like, no, sir, I've never heard of it. He said, well, you ought to check them out, because that's exactly what they do. So I was given Joe Winston's contact information. He is senior leadership of Heroes on the Water, director of operations, I believe, at the time. He's still obviously with Heroes on the Water, amazing guy. Reached out to him, had a phone call, and it was probably a 2 or 3 hour phone call. And at the end of it, he said, we have always wanted to start a chapter in Matagorda, but have not been able to find anybody to do so. And I was like, well, Joe, I was like, you're talking to the guy. Let's do it. What does it take to make this happen? Let's make it happen. And it just happened, Drew. You know, I just put some feelers out there with some friends who I knew who liked to kayak fish, and everything just absolutely fell into place as if it just was supposed to happen. You know, amazing guys like Justin Galvan, Matt Houston, J.R. Woolley, you know, Justin served in the Army. Matt Houston, retired Sergeant Major. J.R. Woolley, he served in the Air Force. He's the Justice of the Peace in Waller County. Brian Biani, he's the EMS chief in Waller County. Jody Taylor, who I wasn't going to mention his name, who fell out of the kayak. But Jody Taylor, retired major in 30 years. He was my neighbor. All those guys jumped on. So it wasn't Joey who did all of this. It was all of those guys and all of us in concert. Just flowing together, made it happen. And it's amazingly rewarding, you know, at every single event, almost every single event, I have one or two veterans or first responders pull me aside and, you know, they're trying to thank me for what I did, to allow them to have peace on the water and relax and rehabilitate, but it's not me. And I explained that. I was like, there's a whole host of people that make this happen. I'm just the guy who sends out the emails and sends out the texts. But our team is an amazing team, and it can probably be said for every single chapter throughout the entire Heroes on the Water organization. I think we're just one example of success where, you know, just a bunch of people with big hearts come together and want to give back to those who have served us. So it's very, very rewarding.
Now, so what about kayaking and kayak fishing do you think helps with that paddle fish heal? Like, for you, I mean, you could talk about for you personally, because I've heard a few different reasons and they all make sense. But for you personally, what is it about kayak fishing that really just helps with any type of healing process that you need to do?
That's a great question. For me personally, this right here, my schedule, I don't look at that when I'm fishing. You know, that's all of my activities. That's everything going on in my life, both work-wise and family-wise. And you love both those entities, you know, job, you have an income, provide for that family that you love. But when you get out there, it's just an automatic peace. You're on the water. You see the, you know, a flock of ducks go by. You see tons of, you know, birds and wildlife. Feel the breeze. You know, I want to get all sentimental, but I mean, it's just a real peaceful. You're just sitting in your kayak, relaxing, and then you look out on the horizon as the sun is coming up. Which, let me show you this picture right here. This was taken at one of our volunteer, events. We had a little volunteer get together where it was just us volunteers to just have a little camaraderie amongst us. But that's a typical launch. You get on the water and you watch the sunrise. I mean, you know, they say like a picture speaks a thousand words. You're just at peace out there. There's none of this out there, you know, no technology. I mean, you're just relaxing. And then, you know, I alluded to the picture. You get out there and you're fishing, and then you turn and you look and you see about 25 kayaks. So those are our participants and our volunteers, and they're all out there doing the same thing. It's like, these are my brothers and sisters, and we're out here in nature just relaxing, and the technology isn't happening. Mm-hmm. It's a really good feeling.
And you guys have heard me talk about it on the show. One thing that I really love about at kayak fishing, and I've said it probably a thousand times on this show, is it's an activity where you're actively relaxing. So you're engaged in your environment, you're paddling, you have to think about your balance, you have to think about casting, you're looking for, you know, fish activity, you're checking out the sunset, you're looking at birds. You don't have time to really worry about anything or check your phone. Like, you really get immersed in the environment that you're around. You get immersed in the activity that you're doing. There's no distractions. It can help you clear your head. Like, it can help you clear your mind. I always, like, after a long day of fishing, I just feel different. It's like a reset button for your brain. It just totally resets your brain. It usually happens when I get home and I get in the shower and I'm washing my hair and I'm like, oh man, this is a completely different feeling than I'm used to through my weekly grind.
It's a reset button.
Yeah, this feels good. Like, this reset button feels awesome. I get those because
earlier in the intro, you heard me talk about football and baseball and everything. Mm-hmm. I get that whenever I'm kayak fishing, but I also get that whenever I'm coaching baseball or I'm extremely involved in a football game or something. Like, it just completely takes your mind away from everything. And I don't think that we do those type of activities enough. Like you said, with the technology, a lot of scrolling, a lot of looking at videos. You know, there's a lot of computer work, worrying about work, the just the day-to-day grind, driving, you're in traffic, everything mm-hmm. like that. You've got to have those activities just, I mean, not even just for veterans, but just anybody. You got to have some activities that just let your mind take a break and just enjoy what's going on. And I used to think, like, until I started getting a little bit older, I'm like, man, how can grown men play video games and just sit there and play on PlayStation? But then I thought about it. It's like, I like to get out and kayak fish and take myself to a different place and a different world that way to turn my brain off. But not everybody does that. Like mm-hmm. some people like their video games. Like that is their escape. I mean, not really escape. That's their way to
their
go
outlet.
To a different a different world. It's their it's their outlet. It's their, I'm going to go, you know, take my mind away from everything else that's going on. So I've kind of come around to the video game stuff. I even ordered an arcade. Like, I don't know if you guys have been watching my Facebook. I spent way too much money on a little arcade. And I say little, it's a giant arcade.
Isn't it a four person?
Oh, it's a four person. It's
on your
like
podcast.
50 inches wide. Like, I'll send you some pictures. It's big enough for four grown men to sit there and play. It's got 7,000 games. Like, we were playing NBA Jam and Ninja Turtles and NFL
Frogger?
Blitz. Oh, it's got Frogger. It's got all the Atari games, all the Nintendo games. It's awesome. But I found myself, like, playing with the kids on that, and then that would give me that mental clarity, too, that I'm just like, it just takes you out of all the stresses that we put way too much stress on ourselves with the demands of jobs and parenting and relationships. We put a lot of stress on ourselves, and you have to have some type of decompression. You have to have some kind of reset, whether that's kayak fishing or video games or going out and playing basketball with some friends. Like, if you're feeling down and depressed, the worst thing you can do is just kind of isolate yourself and not do anything. Get out there with the community. Get out there with organizations like Heroes on the Water. Go out to the Y and try to play some basketball with some people. Like, just get out and try to decompress somehow. It's depression is something that's very, very serious in every community going on right now. And a lot of it is, I think, the amount of stress that we put on ourselves via technology. I mean, work can follow you home. Work can mm-hmm. be on your phone. Like, you get, like, there's no personal time. Like, hell, back in even the 80s and 90s, like, you left work. If your boss called your house phone, like, wherever you worked was probably on fire and you needed to get there. Like, because when you left work, that was the end of your day. Heck, now you get emails at all times of the day. Hey, did you get my email I sent? Yeah, I did. I'll answer it after I get done with dinner with my kids. Like, come mm-hmm. on. Like, everything's always an emergency now for everybody. So finding something that you can decompress in, I cannot stress that enough. And
yeah, those are absolute facts. And Heroes on the Water, I don't have all of the specifics right now, but I have reviewed the study. Heroes on the Water actually performed a study for those who have attended events, and the ratings are through the roof. Like, some examples were like, did you feel like, you know, pressure was relieved off your shoulders after attending an event? All of those types of questions. Did you have a good time? Did you meet new people that you like? Things like that. Everything was through the roof. It was like 95 percentile. Like, yes, yes, absolutely yes. It was amazing. But like I said, I've had many people pull me aside and just say, like, and they were almost whispering, I needed this. I desperately needed this. Thank you so much. So, you know, and then you take that for just our small Matagorda chapter that has 15 kayaks, and then you take that across the board to all Heroes on the, you know, 60-ish chapters, and how many people they're taking out. You know, our the whole thing is not in in our chapter, and I think it's like that in all of the chapters. We started the chapter with our core volunteers, the list of names that I read off earlier, Matt Houston, J.R. Woolley, Stephen Barton, Jody Taylor, those guys, Brian Biani. We never wanted to focus on quantity. We always wanted to keep the focus on quality. We want the veteran, first responder, and family member to have the most qualitative, amazing, comforting experience on the water as they possibly could. And we've applied that to every single event. I think thus far in our short history, we've taken out over 150 veterans, first responders, and family members. And while that's a great number, we know that it's backed up by quality. We've done our best to make sure that they have a nice, gentle, easy, loving environment to get out there, paddle, fish, and heal. And it's just been an amazing ride. And yeah, we have four events for the rest of 2023. In August, September, October, and November. And of course, as you mentioned earlier, which I'm so glad you brought it up, we have our huge Heroes on the Water Matagorda chapter benefit on September 2nd, Saturday. And if individuals want to contribute to that raffle, because, you know, these things don't fall out of the sky, right? We need people to step up and donate items to be raffled off, like last, and we have things, not just, we don't have all things just for the rough and burly guys. I mean, we have tons of, we have like last year we had spa, I don't know, what do you call it, a spa reservations or coupon or whatever. We had spa things. They had,
don't ask me, bro. I've never been to a spa in my life.
Me neither. Like, but they had these amazing, gigantic, I guess they're popular purses that were very decorative with handbags with matching purse. It was, the ladies loved it. I don't know what it's called. Coachella. I don't know what it is, but yeah. So there were raffle prizes for all walks of life, to include for children as well. And last year was very successful. We have, you know, I think we have, in our inventory right now, 15 Pin Fierce 3 rod and reel combos. Which is a good quality combo set. You can get it on Amazon for like $130. We have 15 of those. You know, all kinds of PFDs that fit every walk shape and size, or all shapes and sizes. So it's through people giving to us that we're able to host, you know, Matagorda Outfitters hosts this benefit and raffle. And then all the proceeds go to our chapter, and then we're able to spa baskets. That's what it is. Camille, thank you.
Yeah, and Nick's saying gift certificates and spa baskets.
Yeah. Camille always helps me out.
I just didn't know. I don't know what you
do. I know. I don't spa. Know either.
I just know what I see in the movies. That's it. You put cucumbers on your eyes and put white cream on your face, and then they wrap your hair in a towel. Like,
you know, and then on top of Thomas Davis at Matagorda Outfitters actually hosting the event, he donated a case of ammo, the 223. He donated a case of that. So there was all kinds of raffle prizes, raffle items to get last year. And we did great. And it was really cool because you can look back on Facebook, go back 1 year, and you can see the people that won that new canoe Flint from Mariner Sales. And they were just like all giddy over it. They couldn't wait to get it on the water.
Yeah, and what I'm going to do, since we have almost a month until this happens, because this is actually going to release today, I'm going to release this. For all the Patreon donations that I'm going to get for August, so if you sign up as a new Patreon for the Paddler's Playbook, I'm going to bring that to the benefit, and I'm going to donate that to Heroes on the Water for all of August. That comes in. So guys, even if you just sign up, if you want to sign up for the Patreon on the Paddler's Playbook and then cancel it next month, that money's going to go to Heroes on the Water. So anything between now and September 2nd from the Patreon, I'm going to donate that to Heroes on the Water. And we're going to have a live broadcast from over there. So come out and check it out. I might try to set up a little bro staff meetup. We'll have to check out the weather, maybe do some fishing before we get set up there at Matagorda Outfitters. Just a little mini meetup. We can get out there, do some fishing. Bring some cash. I'm telling you guys, because one, you're going to want to get in on the raffles. And two, I promise you that you are going to see something in Matagorda Outfitters where you're like, I really like that hat. I really like those shoes. My wife would really like that shirt. Like, you are going to see something in that store because it's a great retail center there in Matagorda. But Joey, man, we're at an hour, a little over an hour.
Wow, feels like
anything
10 minutes.
Else you want to talk about, man? I think we've covered everything. We've talked about the benefit. I hope that we get some people over there to the Patreon, some new subscribers. Like I said, everything from now until the benefit, I'm gonna send over to the Matagorda chapter for that raffle and that benefit. So go over there and get signed up. And if you don't already, follow the Matagorda chapter on Facebook. Follow Heroes on the Water on Facebook. Are you guys on Instagram or anything like that, or mainly just Facebook?
No, mainly just Facebook.
It's easier to communicate things on Facebook for events and create tabs and stuff like that. But if you don't follow the Paddler's Playbook on Instagram, make sure you follow us there. Man, you got anything else before we get out of here?
No, man, this has been absolutely awesome. Thank you so much for having me on. I love your podcast. Always learn something new from your podcast. In the previous podcast, I learned about iCast and how interesting that was. And I like how it's not just about fishing. You guys also talk about various things.
I've been all over the place this year, man.
You are.
I've been everywhere this year. It's just like whatever comes to my mind, that's the episode that we're doing. It's been all over the place.
No, I love it. Whenever I go on my morning walks, I typically either have you guys on or some Christian podcast. But yeah, I absolutely love your podcast and the content that you provide. And Saltside Jess, she's a breath of fresh air, man. And hopefully we can see her at our August event.
Oh, yeah. We'll be out there soon. And guys, I'm sorry that I haven't been able to talk about fishing much because I haven't been fishing. But if you want like some great fishing report info from the Galveston Surfside area, go check out the Empty Stringers podcast. He does a more in-depth look weekly because he's out on the water weekly on what's going on in the marsh. He can give you some tips. He's fishing out of a skiff, but it can apply to kayaks. So our man Matt over there at the Empty Stringers, and I think I'm going to be on his podcast pretty soon to talk about rod building. He was just on the podcast like 3 or 4 podcasts ago here on the Paddler's Playbook. But if you're just dying to hear about catching some redfish, I know I haven't been talking about it like the last 3 episodes. You just can't wait to do that. Head over to the Empty Stringers and check that out. There's good guys over there.
Real quick, Drew, two things. Okay, I'm going to give you a quick summary of the survey that was taken. It's called Operation Early Impact. And then I don't know if you've talked about your personal best, but I want to get your personal best redfish, speckled trout, and flounder after I give you these statistics real quick, okay?
All right,
sounds good. All right, so here's the summary. It's a response. It's called Operation Early Impact. This is for Heroes on the Water. This is a response from 2022, okay? Here's some of the questions, and here's the statistics. Helps improve my mood, 97%. Provided an opportunity to relax. Now, this is for Heroes on the Water events, okay? Provided an opportunity to relax, 98.5%. Helps me be more mindful, 96%. Recognize personal strengths. I thought that was an interesting one. 91%. Increased self-confidence, 90%. And then opportunities, one more. Opportunities to build new relationships. As you were saying, get out there and do something. Opportunities to build new relationships, 96%. Those are pretty good numbers, wouldn't you say?
That's awesome. And before you ask me about my personal best, Camille said, hey, I know another podcast you can mention. Look, I'm trying to help the little guys out here. Like I'm trying to help out the little guys The Bite Me podcast is not a small podcast. I don't think that they need my help, but you can also check out the Bite Me podcast and check out Scott and
John.
Scott and John and Captain Caleb on there. And our man Dean Thomas has been on there a lot too. He gets the kayak fix in there. But all right, hit me with the questions for personal best here.
Personal best speckled trout. And then I'll give you mine.
My personal best speckled trout was 27 1/4, and it was the most anemic 27-inch fish I've ever seen in my life. And I will tell you guys exactly where I caught him because I don't really fish that area very much, but it does hold good fish. From the Galveston Island State Park, they have a launch right there. And as soon as you come out through the geotubes and everything to the left and the right, the geotubes are to your left. I was throwing a bone super spook. And as soon as it got over, because there's a lot of grass in that area, and I was throwing at potholes or, you know, just sandy areas. Uh-huh. As soon as it got over that sandy area, it got slammed by that trout. But when I tell you that this trout was anemic, it looked like it had an eight, and it was about this time of year because it was hot. It was hot, hot. It looked like it hadn't ate a mullet in 3-4 months. I mean, its belly was all sucked in. It was the skinniest 27 1/4-inch trout I've ever seen in my life.
27 1/4. So on this personal best, I actually have you beat. You'll probably beat me in the other two categories. I don't know if you can see this there. So
that
I got
the big fish
at an actual Heroes on the Water event. It was 28 3/4-inch speckled trout. And I got that on a Voodoo Mambo. Okay, let's move on. Flounder. Biggest flounder.
Biggest flounder is 25 inches.
Oh, you got me. I'm at 23.
That's a big flounder.
That's a big boy. And
25
then,
inches. And I don't want to talk about where I caught that because I plan on fishing the Saltwater Survival Series flounder tournament this year. And this place is known to hold big flounder and a lot of flounder. So I don't really want to talk about where I caught it at.
Tandem rig
gulp curly tails. Like, you cannot go wrong flounder fishing with tandem rig gulp curly tails and just bouncing it off the bottom. Bounce, bounce, bounce.
There
bounce,
you go.
Bounce. Don't drag it.
Right. Like,
a lot of people think when you're flounder fishing that you should just drag it on the bottom. But those flounder are looking up. Like, they want to see a little bit of action.
Yeah.
I've been seeing this year more than any year. I've been seeing more flying flounders than I have in the past probably 5 or 6 years.
Really?
Just flounder coming 1-2 feet out of the water, busting on shrimp and everything in the marsh. I mean, it's been about a month and a half since I went, but just hammering them.
And then the redfish. What's your biggest redfish?
I don't even know. I've got pictures of my biggest redfish, but it was a bull red offshore. I mean, I have no clue. It broke. I tried to measure it a little bit, and I had a 32-inch board. And this was back when it was the plastic hog troughs, and it flopped around. It broke the hog trough in half. I mean, it was probably 39, 40 inches, 42 inches. The biggest one I've caught in the marsh, though, was 38 1/2.
Oh, you got me. Mine's like 27.
That is a huge fish for the marsh.
Absolutely.
Like a 38 1/2-inch redfish in the marsh is a freaking beast.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I love catching those, though, those huge, broad-shouldered fish in the marsh. Mm-hmm. You get them in shallow water, and you know, like, that's a bull, and I may get spooled because you're not really stopping almost a 40-inch fish with a 2,500 reel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You just kind of hang on.
Yeah, and mine was, I got spoiled early when I first started the YouTube channel, I don't know, 2.5-3 years ago. I got spoiled early. As soon as I would launch, I mean, I would see schools of 15 redfish just tailing. You'd see those tails out of the water. I'd cast right before the tails or right at the back end of the tails. Tried never to cast right into the tails. I mean, and I got spoiled early. It was probably like my second or third YouTube video, and I got a 27-28-inch redfish. But since then, it's been a while since I've caught a nice big red. So,
I've got some tournament red spots where we get into the 26 and a half, 27. Mm-hmm. I've talked about it on previous episodes, though. Like, I'm a little ruined on red fishing because the tournament. So if it's a 23, I'm just like, it's just a 23. It's just a 24. I need to catch a 27 and 3/8 to be like, yeah, this is a good fish. Like, this is a good one. But it's kind of slowed down a little bit. But I'm taking more enjoyment. If you notice, my brother looks like a rock star if you follow him on Facebook, because I'm taking all of his pictures and I'm taking the time to take good pictures of him and our boy William. I always love fishing with people, and I know that it makes me happy whenever we go fishing. I take some pictures, I send them their pictures, and then one of the pictures I took is their new profile picture for social media. I'm like, yeah, there we go. And there's been like 4 or 5 trips this year where I take a picture and then whoever I was fishing with, it's their new profile picture. I'm like, yeah, that makes me feel better right now than catching a 23 or 24 inch redfish.
Nice.
Yeah. So
that's nice. Well, Drew,
that's fun.
Dude, thank you so much for having me on the podcast and being able to share our mission at, you know, for heroes on the water, to paddle, fish, and heal. And, you know, we're just one of many amazing chapters, and all of the volunteers and all of the chapters just love giving back to our veterans, first responders, and their family members. So thank you so much for giving us an opportunity to come on and talk about it.
Yeah, you're welcome, man. And hopefully we see a lot of Bro Staff members at the event on the 19th, and we see even more Bro Staff members at the benefit at Matagorda Outfitters on September the 2nd. And before we get out of here, I'm going to mention it again. If you are a Patreon member, everything from now until September 2nd that is donated to the Patreon will go towards Heroes on the Water. So you guys go check that out right now. If you don't know how to do that, look in the description of this episode and you will find a link. But guys, we're going to get out of here. Joey, I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, brother.
Peace.
Peace.